You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are back with the Kylo at Work series.
Yes.
And have more amazing friends.
Yep.
I love that we have such great friends with all these wonderful people that have so much to share.
It's pretty, pretty special.
It is.
And today we have Charles Cowan. He's coming to us live from Birmingham, Alabama. he's a special friend. He's been running with me for a while. He's been part of the Loving on Purpose world for years.
In all different ways.
Years. He's been one of our conference speakers.
Yep.
He's been, you know, he's running with me in the Dragon Slayers group that you'll hear more about in the future. And he's, you know, he's just a good guy. We just hang out every once in a while.
He's got probably the prettiest background that we've had yet.
Yes.
On anyone on the
painter.
Podcast.
Look at picture it. Behind him. He painted.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, guys, he's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Charles, you should say hi.
Thank you. Thank you. You're too kind.
I think my favorite time meeting you, Charles, was when you came and spoke at one of our Kylo summits or Love on Purpose summits that we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I have never heard someone use the same analogy and in such a perfect manner that it was almost exact to my own father's. Like everyone tries, but your ability to do it was perfect.
Yeah.
I'd never seen that before.
I don't even think
I could do it like that.
I was having an out-of-body experience watching him.
So you've just studied and replicated this in your everywhere you've gone. And it was just really fun to see the first time.
Yeah.
But we've had lots of time since then. So you're a smart man. That's basically what I've learned.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's been a privilege.
Well, Charles, just for the audience's sake, you come to us from a background of working in big companies, wealth, like wealth management, banks and Chick-fil-A and the names that you've thrown around in your working experience is quite impressive. Why don't you just tell us a little bit about who is Charles Cowan?
Tell us about your awesomeness. That's it. That's really what the people want to know.
Well, I would say, yeah, I mean, I've been in business for several decades now, and have worked on, bigger teams, smaller teams. And one of my favorite things about business, it almost doesn't matter where it's the people side of things. And that's really what I would say, probably that's what attracted me to everything that Loving on Purpose does, years ago. And of course it all originally, as probably everybody listening, it started in my home. I found your tools and training and thought, oh my goodness, why didn't anybody tell me about this stuff? this should be 101 for every human on the planet. And so I got a hold of it and just, used it in my own marriage, my own, family, my parenting. And it was amazing. It worked. If you haven't heard that, if nobody's told you that yet.
He's heard it a few times.
Yeah. It actually works. And so I'm a big fan of, I'm all about results, helping move the ball forward really in whatever I'm doing. And your stuff just absolutely transformed my life really, personally. And so that's kind of where it all started. And I thought, well, we kind of were laughing about that time that I was at that, one event. I think we've spoken at a number of events, but that one, Brittany, I think you were talking about early on was really a I think it was Texas. I think that was the first time. And that was a byproduct of the fact that I basically learned your stuff. And I thought, oh my goodness, everybody needs to know this. And so I just started doing, volunteering my time at churches and things like that and leading, events and doing some speaking And people had the same response I did. And I said, well, you got to know about this guy. He's got all these books and he's got this, you know, online academy. And I mean, you got to go check it out. So anyway, and the funny thing is that's where it actually all started. You know, to circle back around to business, you know, initially when I was doing these things, it was similar, doing these talks, it was similar to kind of what you were doing, focusing on, you know, healthy families. And so I might, let's say I might do a workshop on, you know, healthy marriages. And inevitably, there would always be some business person that would come up to me at the end and go, Charles, this is incredible. You know, this is great. And I'm going to, you know, use this, you know, in my home. But gosh, do you have any material for businesses? Because we've got all the same issues, you know, at work. And I, of course, would laugh and say, well, it's just because they're humans. I mean, there's no, you know, people skills are universal. You know, it's just that so many people don't know them. And so at the time, you know, this was years ago now, but I didn't really have anything, you know, even though I'm a business guy, I was kind of talking in the terms, in the context of, you know, just personal relationships at home. And so that's kind of where it all began. And I thought about it. I said, well, you know, these skills are universal and they need to be used at work. And so that's kind of where the beginning of GrowthStream, my people development company, came from. And so, so now I've turned it into a whole thing to help businesses, you know, level up their people and teach people skills in a really systematized way. But it really all started with learning your material and starting at a personal level.
And so the way I like to describe it is that what Charles is doing is he's kind of got this parallel system, parallel universe, you know, of what Loving on Purpose is doing in families. He has transferred a bunch of skills and a bunch more stuff. He's, you know, you've got other modalities that you're using in your software, but it, in essence, he's teaching people how to do Kylo in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And it is a phenomenal resource. It's pretty cool stuff.
Which is so much of what has inspired this whole series. Yep. Is, you know, on the success of what you're doing and what you've built for organizations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how many times that, you know, when we would talk and then we'd have our Zoom dates with him and his wife and we'd have our glass of wine, and then Charles would go off on a brilliant idea of what we should be doing. And that's, I think that's really what you've done, is you are just a man of ideas, and you see a need and you're like, I've got to execute this and make something because the world needs to be a better place and people need to enjoy working with each other. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best companies here, the level of depth in our relationships, because we know how to Kylo at work, but you're really taking it to another level and expanding it, you know, which I'm so excited about. Mm-hmm. It's so exciting.
Well, I appreciate saying that. And as you say that, I'm obviously super excited because you guys have an amazing culture. No doubt. I mean, you know, that's, of course you do. You literally wrote the book. The problem is so many businesses don't have what you have.
Yeah.
And they don't know where to start. Or if they are intentional about developing their people, they're trying old, you know, outdated methods that really just don't work. And so that's really where my passion is, really to help all businesses level up on the people side. You see, I mean, cause like, I mean, think about it. There's two sides to every business, and there's the, what I call the product side. So this is the technical thing that they do. So if you're an architecture firm, you're drawing buildings. You know, if you're an accountant, you're doing taxes. You know, if you're a manufacturing company, you're making widgets. Whatever you do to serve the world is your product. And obviously you got to be really good at that and skilled at that. But the other side of the business, other than the product side, is the people side. And that's where, at least what I've found in the workplace, a lot of people struggle. Mm-hmm. Because it, at the HR level, a lot of times it's all they can do to just get people paid and be sure they have their benefits. It's another thing to actually be proactive and intentional with people development. And so there's really three types of people, I think, that I've kind of found, three categories of cultures, almost, if you will. There's the hurting, first of all, and these are organizations that have people problems. Mm-hmm. Right? They've got high turnover, they've got drama, they've got dysfunction, they've got just all sorts of miscommunication going on. Not a great place. And so you've got the hurting. Then the other group I found is what I call the hungry. The hungry actually are pretty generally pretty healthy. Maybe they've worked together for a while. They've figured each other out. They would say that they've got a good culture. But the reason for that is because they're intentional and they've got a good culture for a reason. I mean, good cultures generally don't happen by accident. And so they've been intentional. They've invested in the people side of their business, and they're just looking to go from good to great. Mm-hmm. So you've got the hurting, the hungry. And then the third one is what I call the happy. I stopped short of saying fat and happy, but that's kind of what it is. It's this idea that, you know what, we're just kind of good. We're okay just to make, you know, we're just here to make some money. And, you know, we know we've got some issues, but we've slapped some band-aids on them. We've got our workarounds and we're okay with that. Mm-hmm. And so that's fine. We don't really help that group of people. We focus on the hurting, the people who have people problems, and the people who are hungry and just want to get better. And so I'd
that's
say
awesome.
those are really the groups that I've found that resonate with being intentional on people's skills.
Are those different skill sets that you're teaching to the hurting versus the hungry? Like this kind of, for me, is the analogy of working as a counselor or as a coach. You're working with folks in a hospital and versus working with people who want a gold medal. You know, you're like, okay, there's just a different emphasis on where we're going and how would you describe that interaction?
Yeah, so great question. And there are some people who they are bleeding and need surgery.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's some people that maybe they've already had surgery or they don't need to, but they just need some physical training they need to get stronger. I would say it's the skills are the same. It's the application that's different. And so if people are hurting and they've got a lot of people problems and they don't have any connection, they have no trust, then we're trying to come in and teach a communication tip, or, you know, we've got a like feedback framework we use, for example, on, you know, how to give feedback. Those are okay, but if you don't have any connection, you don't have any trust mm-hmm. built, then it's going to be tough to do that, you know. So I would say the way you apply them matters, the order, and just every situation is different. But I would say the skills aren't different. It's just the way you apply them.
Mm-hmm. It's similar to a family. Like I think about working with families that come to me that are, you know, blowing up, super disconnected. It's really hard to give feedback to what my needs are when I don't even know if you really love me or believe that to be true. Mm-hmm. Versus a family coming that is, you know, we are connected most of the time, but we need to make some hard adjustments. You know, it feels very similar, like in that family dynamic. I think that I totally understand what you're saying is the hurting and the hungry, the application and the what you hand them is, this is a heavier hammer than the first hammer I gave you. The first hammer is a little bit lighter. It's a little less damaging. We're going to practice. And then you get the heavier one. That's kind of how it feels that it plays out. I just know specifically for the family. So I think that's what you're saying in the work environment is a similar application.
I was thinking that, you know, when you're working with people who have very fragile connections, mm-hmm. then you're teaching them the practice of building connection, of strengthening that connection. And then once they get it, you begin to then show them what you can do with a strong connection, the amount of demand, the amount of production, the amount of momentum that you can create with strong, mature connections is much different than a bunch of people running around the village trying to hide from the dragon.
There's always a dragon. Always a dragon.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, I mean, and Brittany, I love what you're talking about, kind of relating, you know, the family life to the business life, because really, I mean, if you think about it, a business and a family have a lot of similarities in the sense that if you define a business as a group of people that are working together to accomplish some common mission, then that's the same as a family. It's the same as a church. It's the same as a nonprofit, for-profit. It doesn't matter. It's just, you've got different people, different personalities, different viewpoints. And you're cramming them together in an environment, whether it's in person or virtual, whether it's in a home or whether it's in an office building, and you're asking them to work together to try to accomplish something. I mean, really, you go back, and this isn't my idea. I mean, I think Jesus had something to say about this with, you know, one body, many parts. I mean, that's really what it is, right? I mean, he could have made us all an eye or all a foot, you know, all a hand. And nobody didn't. He said, no, I'm actually going to make you unique and different. And I'm actually going to create a situation where if you really want to accomplish a big purpose, a big mission, you're actually going to have to need and depend and rely on other people that are different than you. Yeah. And that's a blessing, but it's also the biggest problem. I mean, you know, often, you know, you'll hear people laugh about, well, business would be great if it weren't for the people, you know, if it weren't for the, if we weren't having to work with all these people or hire people or all these customers, it'd be great. If we could turn everybody into a computer, you know, that didn't have an opinion, it'd be easy. But again, it's the same thing in a family and a business. I mean, and the problem a lot of times is, and again, this is the same thing in the home. You know, I'm back to this idea of, you know, there's two sides of a business, the product side and the people side. Well, the product side is all about, you know, processes, systems, tactics. And we can get so caught up in focusing on that all the time, which those things are important, that we just completely forget about the people side. But the same thing happens in a family, right? I mean, let's take a married couple with a young kids, you know, and Brittany, I know you do marriage coaching and things. I'm sure that you've probably seen this, where people get so caught up in the tactics of being a parent, right? Which is let's get the groceries bought, the meals prepared, the kids at school, let's get the house picked up. This is tactics of which what it takes to run a business. Run a home.
Same.
So we get so focused on all this. Yeah. Right? So we get so focused on all this stuff that we just forget about the relational side of the home.
Sure.
Because all we're focusing on is the business side of the home. And this happens at work as well, but even more so because work typically has this kind of feel that it's not relational and it's all transactional.
Yeah. I mean, my whole parenting book that's coming out in Mother's Day this year is really about the same thing, is that we get caught up in the to-do list of things and you overlook the engagement of parenting that's needed to actually be successful. You know, and I think that's what you've got people at in your work environment that if you choose not to engage with, you're going to have a very minimal relationship, which it's really hard to get someone to want to help you move a mountain when they don't think you care about them. And that's what every company I've ever worked for is they want me to help them move a mountain. And if I don't feel like you really love me, then I'm going to give you just enough to get my paycheck. And then, so that mountain's probably not very big. It's probably a little foothill because we're not moving very fast.
And I know it's weird to say, and I've said before, but the idea of relationships being so rich in the culture of a business, it could be described as we love each other. You know, that we are deeply connected, we are loyal, we are supportive, we are honest, we get our needs met, we pay attention to each other's needs. I mean, these are all the things of a thriving family that you want to replicate in an environment where you spend most of your day.
It's true.
Well, and the interesting dynamic, you know, in the workplace that's different in a family is, you know, you're people come into it with a different mindset. I mean, in a family, I mean, it is relational. At least, it should be. It eventually, a lot of times, I think, can gravitate toward being transactional. Whereas the workplace, I feel like most people come into it with the idea that this is transactional. That's why I'm here, because I'm clocking my hours. I'm performing my job. You know, I'm drawing my building. I'm preparing my taxes. I'm, you know, preparing the meal at the restaurant. Whatever I'm doing that in exchange for money. Right. That's why I'm there. So from the outset, it's a whole transactional environment, which I get that. That's all part of it. It's even more important to be intentional about the relational side of things, the people side in a workplace, because of the paradigm that so many people find themselves in without even realizing it. And so that transactional mindset just translates into our relationships. Now, if you're in customer service, maybe, or you're in sales, or you're some sort of customer facing job, and your paycheck depends on your ability to create relationships, that might be a little different. But especially if you're an internally kind of facing employee, it can be very difficult to kind of have that people mindset. Now, obviously, there's high eyes out there on the desk, and there's people, you know, that just, that's how they, you know, get energy, and there's extroverts. And so they naturally, maybe a little bit easier for them, but it's very difficult at work when you have a transactional environment to begin to get traction on the people side.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a short break and hear from our good friend, Charles, about some really great resources.
As a business leader, what if you're doing people development all wrong? See, great leaders know the importance of investing in the human side of their business, but many either don't know where to start or they use traditional approaches that don't really work. Old training approaches like buying everyone a leadership book, bringing in a speaker, or doing a once-a-year offsite might feel good in the moment, but are often a waste of time and money. And that's because when people get back to work, they just slip into their old habits again. You see, personal growth, it doesn't happen all at once. It happens over time. That's why the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture is to create an ongoing people development system, not a one-time event. But how? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I've got a free gift for business leaders that's going to help. I'm Charles Cowan, founder of the people development company GrowthStream. And we've discovered a simple but powerful 4-step system that makes development easy. And we're giving away our secrets in a free training video. In this training, you'll learn how to develop your people in less than 1 hour per month using our simple 4-step system. Plus, you'll learn how to do it yourself if you have time, or outsource it if you're busy. So if you're a business owner, HR manager, or leader and want to learn about the new way to develop your people, strengthen your teams, and invest in your culture, then go to growthstreamtraining.com to see the video before it's gone. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com.
So how do you move from having a company that maybe your culture has been transactional, that's, you know, that's what, you know, you started a company, that's what you see is happening. You want to make shifts and changes. Like, how are you helping people move this meter to being so relational, and how do you help them start there?
So really good question. So I guess let me answer that by explaining the real problem, which is of the people, of the companies that want to develop their people, okay? Because not everybody does. There are businesses out there that are profit-driven only. They're not into people development, you know, and that's fine. But there's a whole lot of people out there that do want to develop their people. They want to create super healthy, connected teams. They want to create an amazing culture. Or they've got good traction in that area, and they just want to kind of go from good to great. They want to get even better. And so for those people who want to do something about it, then I find that many people use kind of old, outdated approaches when it comes to people development. And those, so for example, I see this a lot. In fact, I talked to somebody last week. This is what they had done. You know, we're going to go buy everybody a leadership book, right? We're going to go get, you know, Stephen Covey or John Maxwell book or, you know, whatever, and we're going to hand it out. And that's going to be our people development effort.
hope that everybody read it and you know, hope that everyone finished it and wasn't just a 5-minute summary app anymore that's out there.
Yep. And so, and again, I'm kind of laughing about the book. Those are great books. Like I love books. I love leadership books. Okay. But a lot of times that's what people will try or they'll bring in a speaker. They'll bring in a speaker to do a workshop. And I've done this. I do public speaking and, you know, and where GrowthStream originally came from was the fact that I went in to one of those companies who was hurting. They were having people problems. And they said, Charles, will you come in and, you know, blast us with a bunch of good information so we can start communicating better around here. And so I said, well, I'm happy to come in and happy for you to pay me to come do a talk. But the truth is you're probably not gonna change. And it's not because you're not a good person or because you're lazy. It's because of this thing called the forgetfulness curve. And the forgetfulness curve is something they figured out back in the 1800s. And it basically says that people forget about 50% of what they hear in 24 hours and about 90% of what they hear in a week, unless they do something with the information. Mm-hmm. And so the reason that these old approaches of, you know, buying everybody a book or bringing in a speaker or doing kind of an offsite for a day or so does have benefit. And there is obviously good things that can happen there. But many, many times there's no follow up. So people can't develop muscle memory, which is really what we're trying to do. You can't develop muscle memory in a day or a weekend or even a week. You've got to do something. It's called space-time learning, and you've got to do something week after week after week after week for months. I mean, like, for example, if let's say I wanted to go lose 10 pounds, I wish I could read a book about losing weight and the weight would come off. That isn't how it works, right? I got to go to the gym, and I'm probably going to have to go more than once. And so the problem is, a lot of companies use the old one-time events, and those have limited benefits. And so the way that we help people get traction is we actually help them put a system in place, because that's really what people development's all about. Mm-hmm. It's about putting a consistent system in place. So think of it like if you're growing a tree, you know, you plant the tree in the ground, you can plant the seed, it's got to get water and sunlight. And you can't just dump a bunch of water on it once a year and hope it's good. You got to put it on a little drip irrigation system and it just gets consistent light and water over and over and over. And that's what you got to do for your people.
Yeah. And businesses love systems. So they will love this because this is genius. And how long would they stay engaged for something?
So it depends. There's different speeds, and every speed is different. For example, I was talking to a company the other day who does seasonal work, and so their summers get crazy, and they're working, you know, long days, and they don't have time to do really anything while they're doing this stint of work for several months. And so for them, they could be engaged with the program. It would be a little bit more intense, and so they might spend 30, 40 minutes a week doing something for maybe 3 months.
And that's intense.
I would say that doesn't sound very intense to me, but okay. Wow.
Well, you got, so here's the thing. So when I'm talking to businesses, I haven't met one yet that just has tons of downtime. That's just, you know, we got hours a week. We're just sitting around doing nothing. No, we've been looking for something to kill our time. We've been,
you know, said no employer ever.
No. We have these solitaire tournaments on Friday afternoons, you know, on our computers.
We encourage everybody to play video games during this part of the day.
Yeah. we've got these 3 hour blocks of time every week. We do nothing. No, everybody's slammed. I mean, for example, you know, I did this in a Chick-fil-A, and if you've been to a Chick-fil-A, they are, I mean, there's a line of cars wrapped mm-hmm. around the building constantly.
Always.
Right. So they don't have any time to, you would think they'd have no time. Well, believe it or not. So for them, for example, there it's instead of 3 months, it's 12 months. Mm-hmm. And so for them, they absorb the content over the course of a year. And when you break it down, it's only about 5 to 10 minutes a week. So wow. the whole program is designed around helping people grow in people skills in small bite-sized chunks of micro learning and micro application. And so if I were to come in and say, okay, guys, this is going to be great, but you know, we're going to need to carve out an afternoon, a week. Nobody's going to have time to do that.
Yeah. I don't know why anyone wouldn't do this. 5 minutes a week. What company wouldn't
I know.
Immediately start implementing this?
And we're going to give you skills and applications that your people are probably going to do just out of curiosity. If no other reason, they're just go, I wonder if this is, if I can even do this.
And I mean, if the science is proving it, that, you know, just that repetition that they've got and a system in play that it actually turns into producing change and depth and relationship and a more enjoyable place to live and work. I just think, well, for those of you listening, why you're not doing this, I don't know. You need to do this. This is crazy.
And Charles, I know that in our conversations, a lot of the enculturation that comes happens in a discussion time. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Danny, that's a really, really important component here. So when it comes to people skills, there's really four main categories of skills that people are going to learn. So number one, they're going to learn about how do I actually strategically, intentionally build trust and connection. That's vital. And for people that might not know what I'm talking about, there's two types of trust. There's what I call technical trust, which is I trust that you can do your job, which is really important. And then there's relational trust. And relational trust is I trust that you have my back. I trust that you care about me. I trust that we're a team and that I can depend on you. And so that is often lacking. And we think that we have it just because we work together. And then all of a sudden stress happens or change happens. And that trust, those bonds of trust or connection get really tested. And so one category is people have to understand how do I intentionally build trust with others? And I also have to understand how I can destroy trust, which is really not taking responsibility. Mm-hmm. So trust is a huge component. The other component is self-awareness. And so we use DISC. Everybody who goes through this goes through a DISC profile assessment. If you're not familiar with that, it's a personality typing system that's four sections, four steps, super easy, amazing. And so everybody learns about who they are, how God's wired them. But they also learn that every strength has a shadow side. And this is what causes friction on teams a lot, is that I don't even realize that I'm stepping on your toes. Mm-hmm. I thought you liked that. I thought everybody liked that because
I like it.
That's right. I like that.
And so, yep. So understanding where I'm amazing and what I bring to the table, but also how I have the potential to cause some friction. So growing in self-awareness is huge. So building trust, increasing self-awareness, and then emotional intelligence is another big category. And this is when I get triggered by whatever the situation is, you know, the customer blows up or the person on the team drops the ball or whatever happened, or we go through change or we go through a merger, or all of a sudden it's just our busy season. And the stress ramps up. And so I've got all this anxiety going on, all these emotions going on. Now I've got to figure out what's happening here. And I got to respond well instead of reacting poorly. And that's just emotional management. And a lot of people there's some really, really simple concepts that are taught that people can understand. Once you understand those, you know, then you can be more emotionally intelligent. And then the last thing is communication. This is probably the most popular, but this is, how do I deal with disagreement? How do I deal with conflict? How do I give and receive feedback effectively, so it's not awkward? All the communication breakdowns that happen. And those are all based off people skills as well. So it's, we take those four kind of categories, if you will, and you learn about those through 12 different modules. And then every module includes a conversation. So it's not just online learning. So there is a learning management system. There's an online platform that, you know, is available on a mobile app or a desktop, laptop, you know, anywhere you have an internet connected device where you're able to learn. So you can learn the content online. And then there's some application exercises in there as well. But then the key is this monthly, or depends on how quickly you're going through it, maybe even weekly, conversation that happens. And so there's a small group, basically meeting, that happens. And a lot of times people will tack this onto the meeting that they already have. So for example, at Chick-fil-A, you know, they already had a meeting with their group. And so they would just have their regular meeting, and then they would take 15 minutes or 30 minutes on the back of that. And there's a facilitator guide, whoever's leading the meeting goes through, and they talk about it. If, you know, if you're in a business, I've had people that had businesses, remote businesses, where they had people all over the country. Well, for them, they jumped on a Zoom call and did it. But the key is to have a conversation around the content, because when you do that, not only does it help, obviously help hold people accountable to having, you know, staying caught up, of which it's not hard to do because everything is so short, but it also helps people, number one, build connection, because you're now having a conversation at work, which again, work is naturally transactional. So that's the mindset that we go into. So now we're all of a sudden developing a regular rhythm of people-based conversations that aren't weird or mushy or anything. They're actually very strategic and tactical, because we take people skills, but we put handles on everything. So everything's very practical and applicable to your life. It's not vague. And so when you have these conversations, you learn how I'm going to apply it, and then how are you going to apply it, and how are we going to apply it? Because people skills are universal, but the way you apply it's different. So if like, for example, if I've had several financial planning firms go through this, well, that's a different office environment than, say, the Chick-fil-A, or it's different than, say, a manufacturing company that's used it, or a school system or a medical facility. I mean, there's all sorts of different businesses with different office dynamics, different personnel things going on. And so the way they apply it is very important and unique. And that's part of what that conversation helps them kind of land on.
And so the conversational piece of it is really the way we've interpreted within our culture ideas of how we have or could apply the skill that we've learned. And it is just a repetition of the material almost in a condensed version, where it's, what's the rhythm of these conversations? Is it every week? Is it every month?
So it depends on how quickly a company's going through that. So,
okay.
So if you were going through let's just say there's 12 modules. So let's say you were doing the monthly route. And so you would go through one module per month. In that case, you'd have a monthly conversation. You were compressing things and you were doing, instead of 12 months, you were doing it in 12 weeks, then you would have a weekly conversation.
Got it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
This reminds me of years ago, my dad did something called GTI. Is that what it was called? Mm-hmm. And it was essentially what you've done, but I mean, it was longer. It was not very realistic for anybody to actually pick up and do, but you know, the communication, the emotional intelligence, the self-awareness. I mean, that's what we gained from all the different departments that could come and spend, I think it was like an hour and a half a week or a month. I don't remember, but it was really intensive for a year. We walked out of there and transformed our departments, but not everybody could do something like that. And what you've done is you've made it so just capable for these companies to implement something with the same results that we gave hours to. You figured out, okay, what is necessary and what's not necessary to have in this.
In the pitch that
And then
I
the
had,
handles. I love that. The practical piece. That is really powerful.
The pitch that I gave to the environment was, send me your best stars for tomorrow in this company. because what we didn't have any people development at the time in the organization. And so I went to each department head and I said, who is shining the brightest? Will you let me invest? And I think it was 2 hours a month.
Yeah, it was something like that.
And I taught them all kinds of stuff. I taught them, you know, destiny management and communication skills and self-awareness. And we just went through the whole gambit of things I thought young leaders really needed to know. And
But I mean, you've just 10x'd it.
Yeah, but you made it now. You've made it available to everybody.
It's funny you say that because that's actually how this whole thing started. I think I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I had a customer ask me to come in and do a talk. And I said, well, I'll do that, but I really want to do a follow-up program. Mm-hmm. Because I know you're probably going to, because of the forgetfulness curve, you're going to go back and just kind of go back to your old habits. Mm-hmm. And so I want to do a follow-up program where I'm going to do monthly or weekly calls with your people and actually walk them through applying what they learned in the workshop. And that, and it worked. I mean, that culture transformed. It was unbelievable. Yeah. But the problem was it was expensive and it wasn't scalable because it required me to be there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's where this whole thing comes, because now this is scalable across the country in minutes. I mean, anybody can access this and roll it out to their entire workforce if they want, as long as they have a cell phone or a laptop or a desktop and internet. And so in fact, I was worried that it wouldn't get results early on. I was thinking, well, is this really going to work if I'm not physically there or not physically on the phone with somebody? One of the ways that we measure those results to see if the people skills, you know, have worked is we track employee engagement scores. So employee engagement, just if you want to think about it, a way to think about employee engagement is this. So people get a paycheck and they have a certain job to do in order to get that paycheck, right? And hopefully they will do their full job. Some people do less than their full job.
Yeah.
But at a minimum, you hope people do their job to get their pay. But usually every company will have a handful of people, call them all stars or whatever you want, and they actually do above and beyond their job. Mm-hmm. These are the people, and you can't pay them to do this. These are the people that, because they're, for some reason, they're just super motivated. They're raving fans of the company. You know, these are the kind of places that are like have best places to work atmospheres. Yeah. And they just got an all in group of people. And so think of that as employee engagement. And so you want that. It's a spectrum. So you want employee engagement to be as high as possible, because high employee engagement is going to translate to things like low turnover, mm-hmm. higher, longer retention, more profits, lots of incredible things that businesses want. And so we track employee engagement actually as part of our program. So everybody that goes through it gets to participate in a confidential survey. And there's a handful of questions they're asking. One of the questions has to do with measuring employee engagement. Mm. And what we found is that nearly everybody who goes through this program, every company sees double-digit increases in employee engagement scores in just months.
That's awesome.
Wow.
And it's because people are learning people skills. And when you learn people skills, everything gets easier. I think of it like a 8-cylinder engine, and the engine is the company, and you have the right people in the right seats and all that. But then the people skills is like the oil that makes it just move smoothly. So you can get things done faster, more efficiently. You can have more fun doing it. And so that's really the kind of greases the culture, so to speak. So that's kind of how we measure results. So it is very measurable. It's not just vague.
And we would call that winning the war between fear and love.
Yeah, we're increasing that everyone feels safe, and so their best self gets to shine.
Yeah.
That's what I think about.
Yeah, excellent.
Is you know, I think about all the places I've worked that I didn't feel safe and how I didn't show up. Versus where I feel safe and valued, and what they get there. So I love what you're doing.
Growth Streams.
Yeah. So give us a little plug. Where do we go? What do you tell them? What you want to tell them?
Yeah. So the name of the company is Growth Stream, and the website's growthstream.io. But that's just kind of general information about our company. But what we actually created was a free resource for anybody who's listening, who is in business, and specifically, I would say leaders in business. So if you're a business owner, if you're an HR manager, if you're an executive team, if you're a department head, and you actually have some sort of say in, you know, how people development gets done at your company, and maybe you've never even done people development. You know, maybe you're one of those groups, which is very common, which is we know we need to invest in our people, but we just don't know how. Or maybe you've tried people development in the past and you've tried those one and done approaches that have short-lived benefits and you want to create a system. Well, we've got this free training that we created for Kylo listeners, and it is really giving away all of our secrets. We're going to actually show you, it's about a 30-minute training, and we're going to training video, and we're going to walk you through exactly how to create a people development system in your company to develop your people in less than an hour a month without having to increase their pay or do a bunch of stuff that takes a lot of time. Free training is available at growthstreamtraining.com. Again, that's growthstreamtraining.com. And you can access the video there. I'm not sure how long we're going to keep it up for, but I know at least for a little while, we're going to keep it up. And it's going to show you exactly how to implement really the exact same system that we use at GrowthStream. You can implement it in your own business if you want to. You could even do it on your own. Or if you're too busy and you don't have time to actually implement it, then in that same training video, we show you how to completely outsource the whole thing. So fantastic. If you're a business owner, business leader, definitely go to growthstreamtraining.com and check that out.
That's great. Well, thanks for giving that to our Kylo listeners.
Yep.
Again, if you haven't and are thinking this is not for you, it sounds like it's for any company.
Yeah.
It is really very applicable, and it's your loss if you don't jump on this free training. I mean, I keep adding an S to the end of it, but there's no S, it's growth stream.
Growth stream.
That's it.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Love it. Amazing.
Awesome.
So
thanks,
good.
Charles, so much.
Yes. Thanks for being our friend and always, you know, running with us. I feel like it's just so much fun to have people that are doing the things that you love and value in different expressions. And that's what you've done. So exciting. So really grateful for you and what you've built and love our partnership and really just get to know you guys. And we need another Zoom date with you and your wife. Ben and I do. It's been too long. For
we
sure.
Need to do it.
Yeah.
Well, great to awesome. See you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
So good. Well, thanks everybody for listening to the Kylo Show. And again, you want to make sure you check that out because it's an amazing resource. So we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of the Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.